Good evening, everybody. We are here with the Q&A, second one for this year, January the 13th, session 195. We thank you, Lord, for today. The pastor's conference has been a long day, but we will finish, wind up the week with the Q&A. Let's look to the Lord before we begin. Father, once again, we just thank you. We just thank you. We just thank you, Lord, for today, for the gift of a day, the gift of time, the opportunities you give us to come together in your name.
Yes.
Oh, Father, every time we come together, I pray, Lord, Christ Jesus will be lifted up. Oh, lifted up. Jesus, 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 King of kings and Lord of lords. We lift you up, Lord. We lift you up. We bring everyone into thy presence, Lord. Touch each one at their point of need. You be there, Lord. Uphold them with your right hand, Lord. Even this time, we commit into thy hands the questions we have, the answers you give us, we pray, will edify, strengthen somebody, Lord. It'll be a source of blessing to many, Father, we pray. Therefore, we commit ourselves and all the listeners into thy hands. Be with us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Pastor, we'll start with question number two. Question number two, it says, if this generation has problem with rebellion, which means they have problems with witchcraft, your comments?
Every generation had a problem with rebellion, starting from the first generation called Cain. So rebellion has been a problem. And wherever there is rebellion, there is always witchcraft. Witchcraft actually means the power of the demonic in that. But rebellion... when we talk about specific witchcraft, or we are talking about general witchcraft, the Bible is very clear in 1 John 5:19 that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one.
Mm.
The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. So when you are talking about witchcraft, you need to realize, like if you're talking about US and you're talking about the young ones on the street, it's got to do with misinformation. They are brainwashed kids.
Yes.
They really do not know what they are. If all of them who are on the streets calling out, standing for Palestine and Gaza, if you were to ask them where Gaza is, most of them don't even know where these places are. Okay. Or if you ask them about Ukraine, they don't know what Ukraine is. None of them know. I mean, if you look at them, so this, when you're talking about witchcraft, you need to realize... if you look at the temptation of Jesus Christ, when the devil shows the world system and he tells him, if you worship me, I will give it to you, because it's been given unto him. So you need to understand, in this world system, it is not easy to rise, easy to rise in any field unless there is
power.
There is power.
Mm.
Okay, there is power. We look at the middle class and we think, because we haven't seen the people at the top, this middle class is nothing. In the eyes of the people at the top, they are just like slaves who work for them.
Yes.
You know, and they keep them fed and entertain them and keep them happy. But the whole system is controlled by people who are, most of them I would say, are under the power of the wicked ones. And unless you deal with that, things are not going to change. So we are not just talking about the generation of young people. We are talking about all generations.
Generations in general.
All generations. That is why we have this. Mm. And it also has to be, because when you read 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, if I'm right.
Yes. 1 John chapter 2, 18.
Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard, the Antichrist is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know it is the last hour. So Antichrist meaning somebody or something that opposes Christ.
Yes.
So from the beginning, those who oppose Christ have been there. But the big one is coming.
Mm.
And we know it's getting closer and closer and closer and closer. And as it gets closer, you need to realize the Antichrist cannot come until the ground is prepared for him.
Mm.
And when the ground is prepared for him, you will see that there will be that on the streets, in the hearts and the minds of the people when you are talking about rebellion. Okay, we've been hearing about the kingdom. What is rebellion basically against? It is against the king and his kingdom. Okay, so that is the whole antithesis of this movement. If you look at it, all of them are basically rebelling against God and God's order.
Hmm.
And his righteousness. That is basically. But we also need to realize many of the people, young people, are ignorant. And I do believe many will be delivered and they will come out. See, the gospel, we cannot just look at rebellion on the streets. We have to look at the power of the gospel. Because one thing is there very clear. There is rest only in God's presence and God's kingdom.
Yes.
There is only rest. There is no rest anywhere. All these people are miserable people. Miserable people. That's why you don't see believers committing suicide, but you see all the other side, the suicide rates are very high because believers have rest in the midst of all the problems. They have rest. They don't commit suicide. They are not walking like the others are walking. They're calm. They're quiet. They're at peace. And they know their God is in control. They have hope.
Mm.
You need to realize a person without Christ actually has no hope. Has no hope. Because hope is connected with the gospel and with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, when you look, we are talking about this generation. You need to realize the people within the system, like we are talking about democratic system, that's the large system. They will do anything for power. They will do anything for power.
Yes.
And they know that power is primarily determined like in moments. Okay, like we have people sitting over here. Elections is coming in India. Probably in April or May we will have elections. What happens is you go into the polling booth. You may just take less than a minute to press that button. And you have made your choice. So all they need is to control you how to press that button. And the power is in their hands. And they can use anything to inflame your feelings and emotions so that you press your button. Once you press your button, if you're in India, they don't need you for the next 5 years. They don't care where you are. Or they don't care where you are the next 4 years in US. So you need to realize the whole thing is being created basically for power. Because when you have a generation that is young, ignorant of real issues, then they will vote by their emotions. They will vote by your emotions. So all you have to do is like fire, feed their emotions. Okay? Because anger is a very powerful emotion. Okay, but the problem is God says be angry and do not sin. But in the world, what happens is people are angry and they sin. Okay, they're angry and they sin. So, young people or older people today do not logically think out something. Okay, it's very interesting. Okay, like if you know. Today and yesterday, the U.S. forces in the Red Sea, they hit the Houthi sites in Yemen. Okay, sites in Yemen, because the Houthis are trying to attack the shipping that is going through the Suez Canal. Interestingly, Saudi Arabia puts on a report by saying you should maintain calm and not do that. It's interesting that the Saudis have been bombing the daylights of the Houthis for the past few years. And people don't even look at and think, what is this dude actually saying? Okay. Like people are not using their logic to read out what all these people are saying. Or India, now January 21st is going to be a big day. 21st or 22nd over at temple is going to be a big day. And everybody is, if you are not with us, you are against us, all that. But the fact of the matter is that the four Sangracharyas, the heads of the Hindu Dharma, the Mats, are not going for it. So the question is it a religious event or it's a political
event? Yeah.
But nobody asks because emotions are inflamed. If you're an average devout Hindu, you should ask, or if you let us say you are in GTC Hyderabad and the whole church has been invited for something. And then you ask, Pastor James, are you going? And you say, I'm not going. Then you ask Pastor Vijay, are you going? And he said, no going. Then you ask both of us, why don't we go? Because you say it doesn't agree with our faith. Okay? And then, after that, the question is answered, right?
Yeah.
Okay, question is answered. Then should you be asking, okay, should I go or not? It's a simple question. Okay. But people don't think. People don't think. So you need to realize, all this is part of witchcraft.
Hmm.
All this is part of witchcraft. Okay? Because what does the devil do? The devil wants to control your thinking against God. Whichever way it happens, it doesn't matter. Hmm. So witchcraft is introduced in Genesis chapter 3.
Yeah.
Where he comes and his first statement is basically converted against God. Did God really say? He begins with that and finally ends that if you eat, you will surely not die. First questioning, then turning the argument right against what God has said. Okay? And God has given people the reasoning ability to reason out something. Any issue, whether you are a believer or not, you should sit down and try to go through the facts and say, let us go through the facts. Okay. Go through the facts and let us reach a logical, reasonable conclusion. But people don't do that.
Mm.
When people do not do that, what do you call it? What is the force that is behind it? What is the force that is behind it?
Mm.
It is like we keep saying, the unseen controls the seen.
Mm.
The unseen. If the unseen does not control the seen in the seen, then faith has no meaning. Faith has no meaning. Because Hebrews 11:1 says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. And when you come to verse 3, the Bible says, we know that by faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Okay, so it talks about the unseen world, its effect on the seen world. Okay, if the effect of the unseen world is primary in the seen world, then we don't need faith. So God is asking his people, please walk by faith, and faith comes from hearing the word of God, and God is in the unseen realm. If you don't walk by faith, if you walk by sight, what is happening is the unseen, the other side, the dark side will control you. Because it's easy for him to manipulate sight. The only way you can walk without being under the power of witchcraft is walking by faith.
Mm. Yes.
Walking by faith.
Mm-hmm.
There is no other way. You cannot walk without being one way or other being influenced by witchcraft.
Yes.
Because witchcraft operates, the only place where witchcraft does not operate is where there is faith. Because where there is faith, it is God. So if the unseen realm, the whole unseen realm is either the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness, then the question is, if I am not in the kingdom of light, where am I? That's why Jesus says there is no neutrality here. If you don't gather with me, you are scattering with me. That is why he keeps that today we heard in the morning, we've been hearing why there is an urgency that the kingdom of God advances with violence.
Yes.
Why should be there violence? Because there is another kingdom after the hearts and the minds of the people. And his whole idea is destruction.
Yeah.
He's not here to save anybody. He comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. And he will use any means for that.
Absolutely, yeah.
He fights dirty. He doesn't play by the rules. Mm. Okay, he doesn't play by any rules. He will do anything. He will lie. If he can use lies, if he can use truth and twist the truth around, he will use any means. Because all he wants is to take you down with him. Okay, so that is where we will realize in the entire narrative what is happening is truth is the casualty.
Hmm. Hmm.
Truth is the casualty. And our only defense is truth. Only defense is truth. And like we say, how does rebellion happen is primarily our emotions are fed. Emotions are fed. That's why we say emotions are good servants. But they're terrible masters. So when you're talking about a generation, okay, generation, they'll be high on emotions. They'll be high on emotions. And how they work it out is basically what the camera is. Now we'll say a picture is worth a thousand words. But those of you who are watching us now, if you really know, the picture is not true. That is not where we are sitting. It's just an ambience created by a camera. That's the truth. Otherwise, we cannot have that many studios. Like, in, we should be having 195 studios by now, because the background is different each time. But the background gives you a kind of a warm, fuzzy feeling, makes you want to listen to. But ultimately, what is happening here is neither the background nor the people, what we are seeing. Does it agree with the word of God or not?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Word of God. So what the enemy does is that he creates pictures. Mm. Okay, that feeds into your emotion. The pictures are okay as long as the word is true. If the word is not true, then it does not matter what picture, what the background is. Mm. Okay, mm. That is why we are not just talking about, if you go back to the question, we are not just talking about a problem. We need a solution. We need a solution. What is the solution? The solution is truth. Okay, you don't reach rebellion in one stage. You reach rebellion only when you start swallowing the lie. Adam and Eve would not have ever eaten from the tree unless they had swallowed the lie. Can I have the fan off? Because I don't think we need it. No. See, every generation doesn't begin with rebellion. They have to be fed something. They have to be fed something. Okay, so if you look into any system in the world, the devil work through educators. He quietly took over the education system. Mm-hmm. Education system. The education system itself is fomenting rebellion. Mm-hmm. Now we will see, when we think about rebellion, we need to realize people are not actually rebelling against the system, the government. You can be a very nice person driving, keeping all the laws of the government, and yet be a rebel against God. See, whenever we are talking about rebellion, we are always thinking about rebellion against the system. We are not considering that is not what is rebellion, because the system itself is in rebellion against God.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So if you are very pliant to the system, a system which is in rebellion against God, you are still a rebel. Mm. Okay, like I said, when you preach the kingdom of God, suddenly religion and the government comes together.
Exactly.
Okay, religion and the kingdom comes. When John the Baptist started preaching the kingdom of God, he was first arrested by the system. But you need to realize the Pharisees never got baptized by him. So Jesus asked them the question, was John from God or not? And they kept quiet, because they thought, if they said he is not from us, the people will be upset. But if he says he was from God, then he will ask us, why did you get baptized?
Hmm.
So you need to realize, if you read the small print, when both the civil system and the religious system were against John the Baptist.
Hmm.
Why? Because of what he preached.
It was the kingdom, yeah.
He preached, okay. Jesus came, because when you are preaching the kingdom, you are preaching government.
Hmm.
You're preaching government. When you're preaching religion, you're not preaching government.
Mm.
Not preaching government. Okay? So, every religion and the government can go together. In India, the majority religion and the government goes together. In all the Muslim worlds, the religion and the government goes together. In countries like Thailand and Bhutan, the government and the religion goes together. In Sri Lanka, these are all, I'm talking about Buddhist countries. We talk about Muslim nations. The only issue is in Christian nations.
Mm.
Because the Christian nation, there is an issue.
Mm.
The issue is the religion itself is a government.
Mm.
Itself is a government. It is not a religion. It is not a religion. It is a government. Christianity is not a religion, it is a government. It introduces the kingdom of God. So the whole thing is that you cannot have two governments. So ultimately, over a period of time, you will realize in all of Europe, they put Christianity aside. As long as the last bastion is US. The reason US is the last bastion is because US has a huge believing Christian population. Unlike other countries, there is no believing Christian population. Mm. But US has a huge Christian population, believing Christian population. So the politicians knows that unless you are careful, you will not win over there. So you have to be very, very careful about it. That's why people like Biden, who probably in all probability worships the Antichrist, will go to church, because you have to keep the outside picture. Okay, outside picture. You have to keep that picture. If you don't get the picture, you cannot win elections. Okay, so you will see this play, always this play of religion and government. But as long as you see Christianity as a religion, it is useless. But if you see Christianity as the introduction of God's kingdom, that is when trouble comes. Mm. That is the end of witchcraft.
Yeah.
If you see Christianity as religion, witchcraft will operate in the church, in the believer, in the home. But as soon as you see Christianity as the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, it's a matter of power. It is about subjection to this king who's holy, who's righteous, who will cast out every work of darkness. Suddenly you realize witchcraft stops. Then you are under attack, because you will realize, the enemy realized, this fellow, all it takes is one man. He becomes a problem for his kingdom. So John is taken out. Jesus is taken out. The disciples are taken out. But the problem is the kingdom of God is still advancing. You cannot stop it. Because the kingdom of God, the church, which is part of the kingdom of God on earth, is built on a promise. The gates of hell cannot prevail over it. So God will always, in every generation, have his soldiers. They don't shed blood, but they're willing, because in one of the things about a kingdom is that his subjects are willing to die for him.
Mm.
They're willing to die for him. Okay. So what happens over here is we don't kill. We are willing to lay down our lives for that cause. If you are not willing to lay down your life for the king and his cause, you're useless in the kingdom. Useless in the kingdom. Okay, so it is in terms of the kingdom conflict that overpowers witchcraft. Revelation 12:11 says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives even unto death. And Jesus makes a statement where if anybody loves anything more, you are not even worthy to be part of the kingdom. You cannot be. You cannot fight these battles. This is a battle unto death. This will, in normal terms, this will end only when one kingdom wins over the other. Because we have read the end of the book, we know which kingdom will win. The God can win in a fraction of a second, but he won't do it, because his whole purpose is the redemption of man. If the redemption of man, meaning he's trying to see, now if you look at it, Israel has been fighting this war for months.
100 days.
100 days. The question is, why are they fighting for 100 days? Because they are trying to rescue the hostages.
Yeah.
If there were no hostages there, it would be a different kind of a war. Okay, different kind of a war. But there are hostages there. Because of the hostages there, they are trying on one side to defeat the enemy and yet save the people. Okay, in the same way, we are in the same battle. What is God trying to do? God says, you are not fighting flesh and blood. Please be very careful. You are not fighting flesh and blood, but you are fighting powers of darkness. Why are you fighting powers of darkness? Because you are trying to save the people who are held captive by him. How does he hold them captive? He holds them captive through witchcraft. How do you know they are under witchcraft? Because you see the rebellion. Go to that person in 1 Samuel
15:23.
This is enough. Okay. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Okay. Now, when you're talking about idolatry, that's how it is used. What is an idol? An idol doesn't move. Okay. Idol is a statue. It's a statue, idol is a statue, it doesn't move. So you will see a lot of people are extremely stubborn. They're stubborn. They know this is wrong, but I don't care.
No.
So you need to realize rebellion and stubbornness have to go together. Mm-hmm. You cannot have one without the other.
Yes.
Okay. A rebel is a very stubborn person. Rebel is a very stubborn person, okay? Because he's very stubborn in his rebellion. Okay, that's why the first thing God is asking in the kingdom of God is, learn of me. I am not stubborn. I am meek. I am meek. You cannot teach a stubborn person. You can only teach a meek, malleable person. So he says, first thing you need to learn from me is that, he says, I'm not a stubborn person. I am stubborn only when it comes to the truth. Okay? I am meek. I will learn the truth. And once I learn the truth, I am like a statue, immovable, unshakable. But then again, I am immovable only concerning truth to myself. I am not immovable when it comes to you. I give you space. I give you time to change, because I know that God was patient with me. He had a lot of patience and he gave me time to change. Therefore, I'd be patient with you. This is how the kingdom works.
Mm.
Okay, that's why the Bible says love suffers long. Mm. Why is it love suffering long? Because you are stubborn.
Mm.
Why is it kind? Because that's the nature of God. Nature of God. See, if love has to suffer long, that means you have to be stubborn in what is right. If you're not stubborn in what is right, it will not suffer long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you need to understand, because witchcraft is not what the wizard is doing and all. That is on the background, hidden and all. We have to see
In the daily things,
we have to see the effects. What is the effect of witchcraft? Of it's very subtle. Very, very subtle. What is the effect of witchcraft? What is the purpose of witchcraft? What does the devil want out of witchcraft? See that we rebel against God, or we are not subject to God. He was not subject to God. There was no reason for him to not subject to God. Why? First, by principle, God is the creator. We are all creations. We are all creation. God is a creator. It is natural logic. Creation should be subject to
the creator.
It's very clear. Mm. Second, he is all powerful. We are not.
Yeah.
He is all knowing. We are not. So it is natural. Then the most important logically is all loving. Why would you not want to be subject to such a person? So there's no logical reason not to be subject to him. Now the question is, tomorrow is Sunday. We believe it's the kingdom of God gathering in a space given to us. How many people will be subject to time and come on time, come before time? Ask the question. Just maybe not even half the church. Why is it so? Do you see any reason? I will tell you, it's witchcraft. It is stubbornness which you have allowed in. It doesn't matter. You have to ask yourself in all these things, like, you know this is what I should be. You know it, it's written. This is what I should be. This is a king, awesome king, all-powerful king, the most loving king, who sent his own son, who is written in Revelation 19 as King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and then throughout the Bible, Revelation, as a lamb that was slain. Why was he slain? So that I could enter into that kingdom and become a son and a subject of that king.
Mm.
And yet I will not listen to that king, even in the small things. Okay. Is it difficult? Honestly, it is not difficult, because unless you're working a night shift, I understand, on a Saturday, I understand. Other than that, everybody can get ready now. Get ready now. It's not difficult. Can get ready now. Your preparation for tomorrow begins now. Because I know we all have done it. Even when our children were babies, little ones, we were never late to church.
Mm.
Because first, this is what I'm talking about. You need to have priority. If you want to break rebellion, you need to have priorities. And the priorities is very clear. It's the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So practical. You have to make it practical. How do I bring this into tomorrow? My priorities is this. So you organize your time. That is your day. And you discipline yourself over a period of time. So I keep telling people, it's very simple. Church is at 9. You already know it takes 20 to 30 minutes to reach. So if you have children, make breakfast simple.
Mm-hmm.
Make it now. Keep it in the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Nuke it in the morning and give it to your children or eat on the way. You know you are delayed. Put out the clothes for tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Now. It is not difficult. If you know your priorities and you organize and you discipline yourselves towards that, unless there is an unprecedented thing, you never have to be late for an audience with the king. Because you have to think that way.
Mm.
For an audience with the king, you can never be late. If you have really lived in a monarchy and there is an audience, you need to understand the last person to enter is the king. Once he has entered, nobody enters.
Mm.
Nobody dare to enter after him. He's the last one to enter. Everybody waits standing until he enters. Once he is seated and he shows his hand, then only the others sit. That's why our mind is democratic. Our mind is not kingdom. But there was never any concept called democracy in God's system. It was always a kingdom. It's always a kingdom. Always a kingdom. Our issue is that. That is how rebellion comes. What is rebellion? Who? Against whom? Against the king. Against the king. Every rebellion is against the king. And who was the first rebel? It was Satan. So what does he do in the unseen realm? He uses deception, lies, witchcraft, all these things to foment rebellion in us. So like I said, when you go back home, your home is the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
It's an order. There's an order over there. And God has set the rules. Like I said, when you read the Bible, read it with a kingdom mindset so that you can overcome rebellion. You can overcome rebellion. Okay, you go home. If you're a child, you go home. You realize there are parents. Who said, honor your father and mother?
King said.
The king said.
That's it.
It's the law of the kingdom. Honor your father and mother. The king said. Who said, wife, submit your husband in all things as unto the Lord? The king said.
Mm.
Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and lay down your life for. Who said? The king said.
Mm.
Everything the king said, the king's son did it and showed it to us. There is no escape from this.
Mm.
Because the king not only said, he did it in our time, in our flesh. He did it. Where do you find a king like that?
Nowhere.
So unless you read the Bible, first that is what, no? So if you read that one word, subject, it will read, he's at his father's business. And then he goes, the Bible says, he went home with them to Nazareth and he was subject to his parents. It's a kingdom term. It's not a democracy term, it's a kingdom term. This is Jesus. And he grew in wisdom and in stature. That is how it works. If you go to Luke chapter 2, 51, 52, if I'm right.
Yeah. He went down with them.
He went down with them and came to Nazareth. So he's going down. Every step he takes, he's going down. Because where did he come from? Who is he? He's going with two people. In the time, they are his parents. But in eternity, he is their creator. And savior. He went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject to them. Okay. Because he acted in our eyes in time as a kingdom person, subject to the laws of his father. What does the Bible say in verse 52? He increased in wisdom and stature, in favor with God and in favor with men. That's the reason. So everywhere we need to see, we are not the pontificating from here. What we are trying to do is look into this and say, where do I need to crush rebellion in my life? Because it's not what I do with my wife or what I say to my children or what I do to my sheep. I'm talking about myself. The question is, everything that I do is related to the king and the kingdom. If it is not related to the king and the kingdom, why does the scripture say that I will have to stand before God and give an account for every word and every deed that I have did? What did you do? Did you do it according to the kingdom or not? The kingdom laws will be pulled out.
Absolutely.
That is why I said when you look into that, you need to know what is a man, what is a woman. What is a man? What is a woman? You have to go because this is defined by the king. These things cannot change as long as there is earth and time and heavens. This is as long as there is this earth. These things won't change. That is what a man is. That is what a woman is. That is what a marriage is. Everything is clear over there. Okay. You won't, if you look into the word and if you are not a rebel, you are subject to the word of God. There is no gender confusion. There is no sexual confusion. There is no marriage confusion. There is no work confusion. There is no relationship confusion. So you understand this is how it is structured. And the only digression you will make in any of these things, not in any of these things in terms of home and all, is when the king calls. If there is a call from the king, then you will tell your wife, sorry, I cannot come home today. You know why? Because I'm at the king's business. That is, otherwise, to be at home is the king's business. To raise up children is the king's business. Why? This is how the kingdom is ordained. This is ordained. Everything, if you bring the kingdom in, no, people want to get married. But the question is, did you check with the king? Did you check the king's rules about marriage? Did you check what does the king say about marriage? And then ultimately, if you are really subject, you can ask the king, who do you want me to marry? Because if you look at royal families, every marriage is a kingdom marriage. That's why if you go look at the British monarchy, they are related to the royal families of France, of Holland, of Denmark, because they're all old days. If you wanted, if France and Britain are on a 100-year war, they had a 100-year war. If the war has to stop, one prince from the British royal family will marry a princess from the French royal family and there is peace. So it doesn't matter whether the boy likes the girl or the girl likes the boy. The king says marry. Because this is a kingdom thing. It's a kingdom thing. So when we look into this life and understand everything in this life is temporal. And everything about the kingdom is eternal. If you are wise, you'll go with what the king is saying. You are a kingdom person. You are a kingdom person. And we are not getting our cues from the word of God because let us forget about the generation. Okay? Because the solution to the problem is one man at a time. And when I pray thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, earth begins with me. Mm. It doesn't begin with my neighbor.
Absolutely.
Thy kingdom come. So every day you're conscious about the facts, Lord. Let me be subject
to the kingdom.
Subject to the kingdom. Subject to the kingdom. And you reduce your life very simple. So like my life was always very simple once. I kept it very clear. My life was like this. My God. My family. My church. My work. Okay. Even when I was in the secular realm. It was very clear. My God. After that, my family. And then my church. It was not my God and my this thing. It was all after God. It was always family. God, family, church, and the work. Okay. It's very simple. If you keep it very simple as the word of God keeps it simple. Because why do I say that? Because in eternity, there is God. Eternity, there is a family. It's a family. When you see Revelation 21, God is stepping down into his family and we are going to be with in a family forever. Therefore, for God, family is number two. God is one. Family is two. Family is number two. It's not work. It's work. Work is there. But the question you need to ask, if you were to ask me, who do I work for? My answer is, I work for God and for my family. And of course here, my family is the church too. When I went to the second realm, I only worked for two people, for my God and my family. I didn't work for anybody. I was not working for my company. The company may benefit from my work because I'm an ethical worker according to the kingdom. But I'm not working for them. I'm working for my God. I have to be very clear, because if my company or my institution tells me to do something which is contrary to my God, to my God, then I have to quit. That's why I always told that when I worked in the secular realm, I always carried an undated resignation letter in my pocket. It was always there with me. Yet, when the day my mission ended, though I was working in the secular realm, I worked on the secular realm, but I was working for my God in the secular realm. The day my mission ended, I went to my boss and I told him, I'm resigning. He said, sir, why are you going? I said, I need to go. My work is up. I need to go. So I said, sir, the thing is that the institution closes only by December 23rd. But I'm leaving on December 6th. Signing and leaving on December 6th because I have finished everything. There's nothing for me to do. I've covered all my portion, revised it, got them prepared. I'm leaving on December 6th. So he said, sir, you know, if you live on December 6th, this is an institution. I would say, sir, don't leave on December 6th. You resign. Stay till 20th. Go back home. Come back after the vacation in March and put in your resignation on the first day. That way you will get your December salary. You will get your vacation salary, which is a huge amount. And I told him, sir, but I need to leave on December 6th. And he asked me, why do you want to leave on December 6th? I said, it's my daughter's birthday. I want to reach there before the day is over. He said, you lose all this money. I said, it's fine. It doesn't matter. Because it's my family that comes first, after God. If you do not have convictions and priorities, you cannot make decisions. Making decisions. Okay, so I left. I resigned, I left. But before I left, there was a private college. The owner of the private college, for the first time in that college history and probably the only time, invited me for lunch to his home. He's a big guy. His father was earlier the prime minister, the finance minister of the country. He called me home, served me with his own hands, gave me a gift. Then he looked at me and said, sir, I've told the principal to pay you your entire vacation salary because we are sad to lose him. That is God. Favor with God, favor with man. So in the process, I left on December 6th early morning. I didn't lose a single pie.
Hallelujah.
Favor with God. Because you're not looking at what you're going to get. You're looking at, this is what is right in the kingdom. In the kingdom, I have finished my God's work and my next priority is my family. I'm going home. I'm not going to stay here one more day. It's going to be a big thing. Yesterday I sent to my doctor. I sent her on this. I said, you know, honey, I was going through my book and I found your letter. Your letter that you had written. You know, you had written 24 years ago. I said, I found your little, my dearest Papu, I'm going to miss you a lot. Please go and come back safely. We'll all miss you, especially me. I love you so much. I said, I found that letter. And I took a picture and sent it to her and she said, yeah, I remember. I wrote it to you. No. So you need to realize, what is the kingdom all about? It's a king. It's a kingdom and it's a family. See, all the work the entire humanity does in 1 year, an angel can do it in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
Entire humanity. Mm-hmm. One angel can do it in 1 minute. So it's not work. What God wants us to learn through the work is virtue.
Mm.
That is the purpose of work.
Mm.
Virtue. And that's where he failed. Mm. He was told to tend and protect. You know, he did not protect his home.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say Adam was a bad worker.
Mm. Adam was working.
But he did not understand what he was supposed to get through the work. So we need to look at Andre. That's why Jesus said, you know what? You do these two things, I will take. Don't make your work as a source of your income. Then you will be pursuing the wrong things.
Mm.
That is not, because all this is temporal. After all, you will realize after some time, you will realize you don't need much to live.
Mm.
You don't need much to live. How much do you need to live? Very little. Okay. So God put there as work. As something, not as something that brings us the resources to eat. That is reducing us into not a bare
rudimentary things of this world.
It makes us to worse than an animal.
Yes,
because Jesus says, "Look at the birds. Doesn't your Father take care of them? Are you really working?" And worrying about what to eat, what to drink. Is that what your life is all about?
Yeah.
Is in what ways? You are making yourself less than a bird or an animal. Because they eat without working. So you have to see work as something bigger than that. You are created in the image of God. So that is why our work has to be creative. Our work has to be creative. Why? Because we are created in the image of God. What is God? Look at the whole. Why do we call him creator? Because he created. You look at, wow.
Magnificence.
Wow. Mm. So don't be a dull worker. Mm. Be creative.
Mm.
Be creative. Okay. That, and in the process, you learn the virtues of God. Otherwise, if you are not subject to the kingdom, and the kingdom principles, you will ultimately become a rebel. So there are rebels in the kingdom. But what is God? If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and read from verses 3 to 5, see, all of us are still at one level or other at rebellion with God. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Then 5 and 6 also. Casting down arguments, every high thing. Where is it? It's all in your mind. And that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is it? God says in the kingdom, there is only one obedience, which is the benchmark. It is the obedience of Christ. He says, you are a true subject when your obedience matches the obedience of Christ. That is when I can say, Lord, I have put down every thought, every imagination, brought it to the obedience of Christ. I am subject to you in everything. Do you know what I experience? What is called absolute liberty. Absolute liberty. There is no more battle inside. All battles are over. I am subject to the king. And I am able to experience the love and the presence of God like never before. And that is 144,000.
Yes.
I saw the lamp. I saw the lamp. And the Bible said they followed him wherever he went. Why? Because on earth they obeyed him in everything he said. Okay. So you need to realize we are not talking about a tyrant.
Mm.
That is the image Satan wanted to put to man. He's a tyrant. He does not have your good. He's very insecure. He's trying to keep you from what is really true. I am the real loving one. This is where democracy is a misconcept. I'll tell you the interesting part. Paradise Lost, the greatest of poems in English literature, was written by John Milton. John Milton was a Puritan. The Puritans were when Oliver Cromwell threw the king out, executed the king, and for 10 years of Oliver Cromwell in British history, they did not have a king. Understand? They did not have a king. Okay? That was the only time when Britain was an actual democracy without a king. 10 years. And all the Puritans, that is when they banned all movies and drama, all kind of things, and they were Puritans. And they did not like the king. They executed Charles I, if I'm right, was executed, and then Magna Carta. They made the kings, the next king had to enter into, I'm trying to remember my history, but I remember. So, John Milton is a Puritan who rebelled against the king, who was for democracy, and he is writing Paradise Lost. So, if you read Paradise Lost, after a point, you will start wondering, is he actually exalting God or the devil?
Wow.
Because the ideas he's perpetuating is not a kingdom. The ideas he's perpetuating is a democracy.
Mm.
Okay. We do not realize democracy is tyranny. The tyranny of the majority over the minority.
Mm.
It's tyranny. That's what's happening in this country. It's a tyranny. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do. The majority rules. And if you look in history, including the Bible, most often the majority was wrong.
Yeah.
Majority was wrong. Understanding this, the only democracy which tried to
have checks and balances.
Checks and balances to prevent tyranny was US.
US, yeah, exactly.
Yes. That is why you have a presidential form of government there. With a Congress and a Senate. The Congress goes by majority, Senate doesn't. There are 50 states in America, so California will send around 55 representatives to the Congress, because that is the largest state, but they only get two to the Senate. Well, Wyoming may have less population than Alwal. They also get two. The founders checked through all of history and they've decided democracy until Christ comes is the best form of government, the best. But we need to have checks and balances where the majority does not rule the minority. So we need to realize, put away the majority cap off. Your home is not a democracy. Your home is a kingdom of where it is not me, the husband, or the father. It is Christ who is king.
Mm.
I'm a subject who rules on his behalf. That is why I said, if you read Ephesians chapter 5, everywhere when it comes to man, the Lord or the Christ is brought in there. Ephesians 5:22.
Mm.
First thing. 21.
Okay, submit to one another in the fear of the Lord.
Okay. Understanding absolute monarchy, let us put there the fear of the king. Submitting to one another in the fear of God. So he is talking about any kingdom set up, where it is a home or a church. What should be ruling is the fear of the king. Fear of the king. Okay, be very, very careful. Husband, I've given you authority, but your authority is delegated authority. If you step a line, remember, there is a king who will execute vengeance. Be careful. You don't have absolute, you do not have inherent authority.
Mm.
Only a king has inherent authority. That is why the Magi come and ask, where is he born king? Because his authority is inherent. Wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives as everywhere God comes, Christ comes. Church, Look at church. Go to that verse, that previous verse, 24. Look at the church. I like that word. Okay? Therefore, just as the church is
subject.
It's not a democracy. Subject is a kingdom word. Subject to Christ. So let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wife just as also Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Everywhere you come to chapter 6, children, same thing. Master, same thing. Servant, same thing. Everywhere. This is kingdom language.
Mm.
Democrat head, Republican head, you put cap that on, you read the Bible, you won't understand what the Bible is talking about. You won't understand what the Bible. The Bible is written by a king to his subjects. So the first thing God says, learn of me. I'm not a rebel. Jesus says, I am not a rebel. I am meek and lowly. I am subject to my Father. He decided for me and I'm okay with it. I was equal to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
But I subjected myself to my Father. And my Father said, this is the people I have picked as your parents. Semi-literate, very poor. Your will, Father. I've come to do your will. You're going to be born in a very tiny little village called Bethlehem. Thy will be done, Father. You will have to flee to Egypt. I've already written it. It is your will, Father. You will live in a despised town for 30 years unknown called Nazareth. Your will, Father. You will be subject to these two people in your life. Your will, Father.
Absolutely.
Everything is okay.
Mm.
It is fine. Because at the heart, he knew two things. His Father is right, and his Father loves him.
Mm. And Father hears him always.
Mm-hmm. Therefore, he is subject. This is where it comes. Okay. So, our battle against rebellion is in our mind.
Mm.
And we have to run the entire gamut of our thoughts. Okay? Any thoughts. Is it contrary to the king and his kingdom?
Mm.
Like I said, you cannot have a kingdom or anything. Any entity. You work in, Richie works in a college, Brother Bhanu works in an organization, a company. Can you have a college or a company without rules? You cannot. You cannot have any entity without rules.
Mm.
Before you form an entity, what you do is you form rules.
Mm.
How the entity can function. You cannot have any entity without rules. Why do you think the kingdom of God is without rules? How do you think your home, which is part of the kingdom of God, can work without rules?
Yeah.
How do you think a church, which is part of the kingdom of God, can work without rules?
Mm-hmm.
The only question is not whether there is rule. There are rules. The only question is then is this. Am I subject to those rules?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's the only question. There's no other question. Am I subject to that rules? So, Daniel and his friends are in Babylon. They are subject to the laws of Babylon. And then one law comes which is not contrary to the kingdom of God. And they said, oh Lord King, we cannot bow to this idol. Everything you said, it was okay. We did it. You changed our names. We did not matter because it did not matter because our God knows us by name. You change our name. It doesn't. You changed our diet. It is okay. We are eating vegetables. We are fine. As long as there are vegetables on the table, we will eat it. You changed our education. It does not matter. We will learn. We will pass our exam. Our thinking process will not change. We will still think kingdom. All that is fine. But now you are asking us something. Bow. I'm sorry, King. We can't do that.
Sorry.
You see, this is what the Bible is talking about.
Mm.
Talking about. He says, we should be subject to the laws of the land. All the laws of the land. If there is one law that is contrary to the kingdom of God, then you say, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I cannot do that. Why? Because I am subject to a higher king. So, technically Christians should be the best citizens in a real democracy.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be having any problem. It's tyrannies, religious or non-religious tyrannies, who hate Christians, believing Christians. Because believing Christians are subject to authority. So Chinese Communist Party is a tyranny. And they hate Christians. They want to crush Christianity down because they know their loyalty is to higher power. And they want absolute loyalty of body and soul. Okay, and therefore, they will call you a rebel when you are not a rebel. Okay. So we need to, before we can address the question of rebellion of a generation, rebellion started in heaven, brought down to earth, will continue till Jesus comes, and there will be rebels in the world when Jesus rules. But rebellion will not come out because he will rule them with a scepter of iron. See, the scepter of righteousness in heaven, when he comes down, becomes a scepter of iron. There will be no unrighteousness that will be allowed in the system because there are rebels. How do you know? Everything is perfect during Christ's reign. There is no sickness. There is no lack. Everybody has a house. Everybody is doing well and good. Yet, and there is no Satan. Satan has been locked up. There is no demonic.
Living long.
Yet when Satan is released for a short period, he still manages to turn everybody against Christ. Why? Because the rebel was still inside.
Just waiting for the right environment.
So rebellion has got nothing to do with lack. Rebellion has got nothing to do with job opportunities. Rebellion has nothing to do with hunger. Rebellion is our nature. The fallen nature.
That's the thing.
Why does God allow it? God is allowing all these things to prove to us eternity. See, my children, I was right. I'm proving it to you, I was righteous. That I gave you all this time. So even in the best possible situation, environment, where there is sin is not allowed, nobody is sick, nobody is hungry, everybody has everything you need for life, yet rebellion is there inside. My question is, why would you want to rebel against Christ? What is Satan offering?
Exactly.
If you have doubts, go to Revelation 20. That's an unbelievable portion there in Revelation 20. It's still, it is very difficult still to understand. Verse 7 onwards. 27. Now when the 1,000 years have expired. If you want to read about those 1,000 years, read the book of Isaiah. The child will lead the lion and the cobra. The cobra has no poison. The lion eats grass. You are thinking about Narnia. Okay, it's an awesome time. There are no wild beasts. Wild beasts are all tame. Can you imagine? I always wonder, I wanted to have a dog, but in the millennium, I will have a lion.
Lion.
Okay. Pastor Vijay doesn't have to be scared of dogs or lizards or anything. All and kind and loving. In that kind of an environment, no mosquitoes biting you, no diseases, no mask, no vaccine, nothing is needed. Absolutely environment. The Bible says Satan will be released from his prison. And what will he do? He will go out to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. Can you believe this?
Wow.
And verse 9 says, They went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. No waiting period anymore. Instantly they are devoured. God says, this is the end.
The devil who deceived them
was cast in the lake of
fire. Everywhere it's deception of the devil.
It's a devil. How does he deceive? But I'm telling you, you cannot be deceived unless you're willing to be deceived. Willing to be deceived. You want to be deceived. Something within you which doesn't want
which
to be deceived.
But
the problem is, you are also stupid. Because if you are not subject to God, you are subject to the devil. So the question is, why are you subject to the devil? Because you like what he offers. You like what he offers. Okay? So this is where rebellion ends. This is the end of rebellion. Rebellion is over. And then judgment, the final judgment after 1,000 years. The dead all stand before God. Books are opened. Finally, everybody whose name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life is thrown into the lake of fire. And then 21 is a new creation. No more. Everyone is subject to the King. Everybody lives with the Father. And everybody serves the Father. This is not utopia. This is reality. This is what will happen. And God says, you know, this is all is coming. So having learned all this, don't worry about the rebellion with this generation. We were all rebels. Like if you were in America, every young person when he's going through the college days is a communist. But when he finishes college and gets a good job, he becomes a capitalist because he realizes capitalism works and communism doesn't work. We were all rebels. We were all rebels. The only issue is if you are 60, 70, 80 years old and still is a rebel, it's a dangerous place to be.
Mm.
We were all rebels when we were young, okay? Okay, as long as your father's eye and his stick was out of reach, you rebelled. When he was there, you were. But the only question is this. Now at this age, as you have grown and been in the kingdom, the simple question is, are you a rebel or not?
Mm.
Are you a rebel or not? Okay, so don't worry about outside rebellion. Deal with the rebellion, which is actually... What is sin? In simple language, is rebellion against God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6.
Yeah, 8. 6 and 8.
6, 7, 8.
Sin is lawlessness.
1 John 3. Whoever abides in him does not sin. Whoever sin has neither seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And go to the verse before.
Verse 4.
Verse 4, actually. Verse 4. Verse 4. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is
lawlessness.
Sin is lawlessness. There is a king and there is his law in his kingdom. Okay? His kingdom. Okay? And what is sin? It's basically sin. Is the outward manifestation of the inward lawlessness. Okay. Banu has a company. Goes to work in a company. If the company says you have to swipe and come in at 9 o'clock. If he consistently comes at 9:30. What is he saying? Your law doesn't matter to me. The company will say if you cannot abide by our laws, you can give. We are giving you notice. You can leave. Because for us, for you, we know you are extremely talented. But our problem is, in an organization, you cannot have work without loss.
Mm.
Loss.
Mm.
Loss. That's how it works. So what is sin? Sin is lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. Okay. We talk about sin. But in reality, what is sin? If you don't understand the kingdom and the laws of the kingdom, when you sin, you are just declaring you are lawless. But the king is very kind and very merciful. So he says, I have written to you all this that you do not sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate. Because there is this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Father, the Emperor. Okay? And your King Jesus will plead for you. Daddy, leave them alone. I stand guaranteed. Please don't punish them. Please don't punish them. Give them more time. Give them more time. He will plead for you. Because in the King's kingdom, the nature of sin is that the wages of sin is always the same. It's death. But we don't die. It that way, if you don't see it that way, we will not understand. Okay, and therefore, and also, that's why I said there are only two things ultimately. We are not talking in terms of priorities, but there are only two things that really matter in the kingdom in a subject. Only two things really matter. One is the fear of God, The other is the love for God.
Mm.
These are the only two things that matter. You love God and you fear Him.
Mm.
Fear Him. And it is based on these two the appeal is made. The love of God constricts us. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we beseech.
Amen.
These two things. Okay. God is your Father. Love Him with all your heart. Fear Him with all his heart. God says, don't worry, fear all these people who can kill your body. Don't fear. He says, fear Him. You can throw both your body and soul into hellfire. He says, fear Him. You need to fear Him. Because you have, see, if you have law and law doesn't have teeth, then the law is useless. That's what they have. Why is there crime rampant on the streets of US? Because they took the teeth out of the law.
It's useless.
Then the law is useless. Okay? Law is useless. So that's where we need to understand. God has to deal with rebellion. He's patient. He's long-suffering. He's still kind. But God has to one day, once and for all, deal with rebellion. Once and all, deal with rebellion. And He will deal with rebellion once and all. But He's giving us His creation time. Like I said, time is a gift. And faith is a gift. Those who lived in eternity and lived by sight, when they rebelled, they were cast out forever. They already have been judged. Satan does not have to wait for judgment. He's already been judged. Jesus said, the prince of this world has already been judged. He's just waiting for the point when he'll be thrown into the lake of fire. He knows he's been judged. He knows where he's going. He knows he's going forever. But we were not. Why? Because we were in time. We have a first death. Satan has only one death, which is a second death. First death and second death is only for man. The first death is in time. Second death is in eternity. Satan has only the second death. He doesn't have first death. Okay, so you need to understand God in His loving kindness put us in time, put us in this body and said that the day you eat, you will die. Put it in time. Put it in time. And He gave us that day. He made it 1,000 years. And you realize even the fellow who lived for 969 years is not changing. So let us cut down that time. Because the process with them is saying, the more time I give them, the more evil they are becoming.
Yeah.
So He reduced it to 120. Remember, that is when He reduced it. So even Noah of that time lived for a long time. He brought it down to 120. Because He says, time is not working in your favor. It is working against you. Becoming harder and more evil and more wicked. So let me reduce it. He reduced it further to 80 years. That's the average age. Now, of course, people are living a little longer because but they're not becoming better.
Mm.
Better. Okay. They're not becoming better. It's interesting, right? No? We are living in the most advanced stage of human technology. And yet man has become worse.
Horribly worse. Yeah.
Horribly worse. Why is it? It's rebellion in our hearts against our Creator. Against our Creator. And that is what we have to learn. And anybody can become that. You see David becoming that and then coming back to subjection. You realize, you see Solomon who was so subject to his father becoming a rebel. So anybody is open to this. That is why God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Why? Because none of us are immune from rebellion.
Absolutely.
There is this power that is working. Power that is working. That's why God says, keep these priorities in your life if you want to come through it. Keep the kingdom first and seek His righteousness first. And therefore, if you go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 4, practical way, in a daily day, daily way, how did the apostles do it? We will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. In their terms, it is ministry, but in the average Christian's life, he puts his prayer and the word of God as one and two in his daily life. to be immune to rebellion. Because you cannot truly, genuinely pray and be a rebel. I'm talking about genuine prayer. There are different kinds of prayer. But we are talking about genuine prayer. Genuine prayer is surrender. Genuine prayer is surrender. And a rebel cannot surrender. So when they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. He said, this is how you need to pray. You know, that's a real prayer of a subject, of somebody who has surrendered. My Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thine. It's not about my name, it's your name. Help me to keep your name holy. Your kingdom come. It's not about me. Your kingdom. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive me my trespasses as I forgive. Lord, I don't want to be a rebel and hold something against. I want your forgiveness. I cannot live without your mercy. So help me to be merciful. Just give me today's bread. I'm satisfied. Lord, I am weak. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the power of the evil one. And I can ask you all this because I know thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. That's a surrendered prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
There are different kinds of prayer. That does not mean the one who prays is a subject. And God may answer those prayers. He may answer it for other reasons. But a true subject's prayer is the Lord's prayer. He's showing us a format. This is how a subject prays. And he says, this is my prayer. This is, and dependent upon the word. What is the word? These are the words of the king. These are the words of the king. What did my king say? So our subject's life begins with these two things. Lord, I surrender to your name, to your kingdom, to your will. Lord, speak to me today. What should I do? Here I am. So if you're working in secular places, you go to work, this should be here. Here I am, oh Lord. Use me as a vessel. Somebody I can share about you. If I get no opportunity to share, let my life be a witness, oh Lord. Because that is who I am. I'm a witness. Help me, Lord, today to be a witness. Order my time, Lord. I'm going to work. Let my work be a witness. Let my words be a witness. Let my expressions be a witness. Help me to be a witness, oh Lord. That's the subject. Because the subject is never representing anything. Jesus said, I have come to show you the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Who is that? I just came to be a witness.
That's it.
And therefore, we are his witnesses. In him was life. That was the witness. That life, that is subject. So don't just look at rebellion, look at the solution. What is the solution of rebellion? Be a subject. Because the opposite of a subject is a rebel.
Exactly.
It's a rebel. Okay. Be a subject. It is not very difficult. It's not very difficult. See, the gospel is very simple. Jesus lived before and showed us how easy it is. It's not difficult. He said, you do this, I'll take care of you. Keep your life simple. I will take whatever. That's why I said, if you look at Jesus' life, his life, you will never see him facing an eventuality that he couldn't meet. And he has this awesome confidence. My Father always hears me. The question is, why should the Father always hear me? Because I'm absolutely subject. I'm not a rebel. I will not do anything outside his will. So he will always hear me. Then he asks his disciples at the end, when I sent you out, did you lack anything? He didn't ask the question. If it is rephrased, when you went, did you lack anything? No. He said, when I sent you, you were subject to my commands. I sent you there, 2 by 2. I said, preach this, you preach that, do this, you do this. I said to Peter, go there, put a rod, you will cast the first fish, there is a coin, enough for it. Did you get the coin? Yes. Why did you get a coin? Because you are subject to what I said.
That's it.
Though this has never happened before or after. I need a donkey. I said, go over there. If somebody asks, just say the master. Now it is very difficult to go to a stranger's house, take a stranger's doggy, he may beat you up. But you were subject to the king and you did it. So he said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? Answer, no. Why? Because when they listened to him, unconsciously, what they were seeking was the kingdom and his righteousness.
And the loss of the kingdom works.
And the righteousness. And therefore, everything was added to them.
The loss of the kingdom.
Jesus said, this is the way to live. And this is temporal. It's just for a few years, 80 years, 85 years. It's done. Then you come into eternity. You will see the real King who will say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my church. You were faithful in little things. Now take charge of big things. Take charge. He can give it to whomever he pleases because everything is his. 10 cities, 100 cities. Take it forever. You rule over it because you can be trusted. That is how you see life. That is life. I'm not saying subjection is easy. It's not easy. It is difficult for a wife to be sub. See, it's easier for a man than for a woman. Because man is asked to be subject to Christ. It is easier. What is difficult for him to love a wife who is not subject? But for him to be subject to Christ is easy because Christ is awesome. What is difficult for him is to subject to Christ's instructions, lay down your life for your wife. Live for your family. Live for me and live for my family. Your family. That becomes difficult if the wife is a rebel. It becomes problematic. Discipline the children. It becomes problem, difficult when the children are rebels. Okay, that is where he is being tested and trained and disciplined and being made into a man after God's own heart. For the woman, the problem comes is submitting the husband who is a tyrant. So how do you submit to him? You submit to him by submitting to everything that he says, which agrees with what God says. If he says something which disagrees with what God says, then you are subject to the king. But you are very careful about how you deal with authority. Don't shout, don't scream, don't say, just politely, respectfully, stay your distance. Everywhere. That is how it works. God says, I put it over there so that in the process, you'll really learn how to be subjects in my kingdom. There is no perfect world under the sun. It will only come when there is no sun and moon. In Revelation 21, there is no sun, no moon. He was the light.
That's it.
The Lamb was the light.
There was no sun.
And there is no day. There is no darkness. There is no day. Time is gone. Okay. So even when Jesus rules on earth for 1,000 years, there is still time and there are still rebels. Yes, Pastor Vijay.
Pastor, I think we'll close it actually.
We'll close it. One question to cover time because that is the question.
All
of us are dealing. I don't know about you. We are all dealing with the same situation.
Yes.
At different levels, we are struggling.
Family. Beings. Individually, family, church, and national.
Every level.
It goes on from the
struggle. No struggle. Yeah, this is what it means. The obedience that comes
from
by faith.
It's awesome.
Faith, no? Faith hears, faith believes, faith obeys.
Thank you, Lord.
Romans 1:5, if I'm right.
Yes, Romans 1:5.
1:5. The obedience that comes by faith. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. If faith does not bring obedience to the king, see, God is actually put us in a really good position. What God is saying is that if you can obey me now and love me and obey me by faith without seeing, do you know how awesome and easy it is going to be when you actually see me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Actually see.
Whom you love with having not seen.
Not seen. Once you see, when you realize. Then we will say, well, Kriya, I should have loved him more. I obeyed him more. What a goof of I did. I didn't even realize he was such an awesome person. No? So that's how it is. Because you have to get those two pictures. The king, the kingdom. And then you look at the king. The lamb that was slain. To reconcile us. I mean, for him, it is so simple. Destroy everything, start all over again, have a new creation. What difference does
it make? Exactly.
Like
he didn't have to do anything.
We crushed the cockroach under our feet. He could have done it. Get it out of there. Let's start all over again. We may fail again, so what? We got nothing else to do anyway. Fail again, destroy that. Because that's how the Greek and the Roman gods were. They care two hoots about human beings. If you look at all this, they care two hoots about anybody. The pagan god, they really don't care. They were on a killing spree. But our God is on a saving spree. Okay, that's the difference. Okay, that is the difference. Yes, Pastor Vijay, we'll close in prayer. Yep,
absolutely. Yeah. Pastor Vijay.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We just thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We just thank you. Thank you, Lord. Once again, Lord, I commit everyone into thy hands, Lord, and I bless them in your name.
Thank you, Lord.
Our church here, the churches around the world, everyone who's logged in listening, Father, I pray we will, by the power of your Holy Spirit, put down every rebellion in our own hearts, yes, Lord, until our obedience is the obedience of Christ. Then we will know what true liberty is.
Yes, Lord, yes.
Then it doesn't matter where we are, like Paul in a prison, but absolutely free. Because he's come to that point where he is a true subject of the kingdom. And he experiences the goodness and the awesome presence of the king in his life. Because you cannot reveal yourself unless we are subject to you. Everything you say is for our good, not to harm us, that we may experience you even more, O Lord. Therefore, I pray, even tonight in our own church, people will pray, people will prepare. And I pray, everyone, there will be a divine touch even on the children, the little ones, O Lord, that you would touch them. The parents would pray, touch my little one who never wakes up on a Sunday morning, who never eats, fusses, Lord. Touch them, touch them, touch them, Lord, so that we all can be in the house of God before the king arrives. Because you said, if you gather in my name, I'll be there before the king arrives, so that we can truly, truly show him we are your subjects and we have come to adore you, to lift you up, to magnify you, to proclaim to the whole world, our King is God, and God is our King. And our first step of obedience, we have come before time. And we are waiting for his presence. We are waiting for the worship to begin. We are waiting to celebrate our King. Touch everyone, Lord. Touch everyone. Touch everyone. Because if we in this life can be before time for so many stupid things, O Lord, how is it that we cannot be before time when our King comes to meet us? That's why, Lord, it is called your day. It's not our day, it's your day, the Lord's day, when the King gives audience to his subjects. Touch everyone, Lord. Touch everyone, everywhere. Touch the sick, heal them. Touch the weak, strengthen them.
Yes,
those who are in the ICU in a coma, speak to them, Lord. Yes. Put together, Lord, every ligament, everything that is cell that is damaged. But you are not only the God of life, you are the resurrection too.
Amen.
Let the resurrection power flow, Father. Those who are lungs have collapsed, Father, breathe upon them, Lord. Those who are crippled by fear, let them be bold as lion, Lord. For you haven't given us any of these things. What you have given is the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, and a sound body, O Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you, Lord. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.
According to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure. Carve upon my heart the truth that sets me free. According to your word, O Lord, be it unto me. Be it unto me. According to your word, according to your promises, I can stand secure, Lord. Carve upon my heart truth that sets me free. According to your word, Lord, be it unto me. You promise your blood will deliver. Lord, we believe it's true. promise this joy like a river. And Lord, we receive it from